Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Game on Sunday and what was a disappointing Browns loss given the entire course of the game, and obviously a very rather disappointing debut for Shador, going 4-for-16. What was your entire takeaway from Shador's performance on Sunday?
There was more hope for the Browns to win that game with him on the field than if Dylan Gabriel would have been, and that's even with him not playing all that great.
Yeah, Darryl, like, I kind of felt the same way. Like, it almost felt like, I mean, that was the most, and not just because it was Shador and it was a long anticipated, but just watching it and the idea that it felt like something could happen, it felt like it was the most entertaining half of Browns football that I actually got to watch, and they scored 0 points while doing it.
Yeah, and but I mean, on that final drive, one throw they were across midfield, and they had a shot. They were a pass breakup away from tying that game, or at least getting an opportunity to kick to tie the game. And force overtime. So, and just, you're never seeing that with Dylan Gabriel. Not this season. So, you know, it's a shame that Dylan got hurt. He's got the, you know, he's in the concussion protocol and whatnot, but I would not be the least bit disappointed if that is the end of him for 2025 and we just see Shador Sanders for the rest of the season.
Yeah, Darryl, I thought it was interesting after the game, and I guess my question is going to be whether or not this was more performative than actual. But Kevin said that, you know, once Dylan cleared protocol, he'd be back to QB1 and he'd be right back in the spot that he is in. Is that more performative?
I don't know. I'd probably say right now, no, until Shador shows something more than we saw on Sunday, right? That he has to show that. Tangibly, he gives the Browns a better chance to win rather than hypothetically, because I'm speaking in hypotheticals right now. I mean, Dylan Gabriel was hot garbage. At least Shador threw the ball more than 5 yards every time. Now, he's got two major habits that he needs to break if he's going to be successful. One is the happy feet bailing from the pocket too early and too fast, which we saw that in college. And then also to him giving up tremendous amounts of ground retreating from the line of scrimmage when he gets under pressure. Which, again, we saw that in college. He's got to break those two habits, because in the NFL, he's going to get killed doing all that. And you're going to see, you know, not just, you know, first, second, and third and longs, but you're talking 20, 30 yards. Again, like we saw in college, except for in college, he could get away with it because he was able to make plays to get away with it. He's not going to be able to make all those same plays in the National Football League. So, he does have bad habits to break. You saw why the Browns were not in a rush to put him on the field, in all fairness to the performance itself. But at the same time, all that being said, there's a hell of a lot more potential there with him than with Dylan Gabriel.
I mean, Darryl, I think it's, you know, those are obviously things that everybody basically had pointed out when Shador was coming out, that they were going to be major problems. Kevin Stefanski has told us they've been very intentional with the development of Shador. I guess it's just hard to sit there and watch and hear them say that and then also watch the exact same problems arise, and it feel like it almost was the exact same Shador Sanders that I watched in college despite the months and months here. It feels like all of the intentional development still resulted in the exact same things we expected it to result in.
Yeah, and, you know, again, it just goes back to what I said earlier. We saw why the Browns didn't want to put him on the field. Mm-hmm. Like, but guess what? He's on the field. So now it's about making it better and making him as good as possible. And now he's going to get those reps during practice. He's going to get a game plan to prepare for with the Raiders, right? The offensive line is going to get time to learn his cadence and his habits behind the line of scrimmage. Hopefully they can block for him a little better, right, and have an idea of what he does, where he does it, things like that. You heard Shador after the game, who I thought he handled the post-game press conference masterfully. You know, thankful for the opportunity, talking about, you know, wanting to get to know his receivers, wanting to get to know their habits, the details of their games, so that he can put them in positions to be successful, right? All those things are important. Now, I don't know if he can do all that in a week. I think that's asking a bit much. But also after watching the Raiders and Cowboys last night and seeing what a hot mess it is in Las Vegas right now, I don't know. I feel pretty good about the Browns' chances on Sunday, to be perfectly honest with you, especially after watching that Raider offensive line. I mean, hell, Myles Garrett might break the NFL sack record next weekend. If you thought 4 and 5 sacks were impressive, he might get double-digit sacks working against that offensive line. I'm joking around a little bit, but you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see him put up another multi-sack performance and maybe even break his franchise record for sacks in a season, which is 16, which he did each of the last couple years here. But yeah, I mean, this is a tremendous opportunity for Shador on Sunday in Vegas to show growth from being thrust in to duty completely unprepared to starting a game with a week's worth of preparation for it.
And again, Daryl Ryder with us here on the hotline. Daryl, you mentioned this game. You talk about the opportunity. What should the expectation be for this game? What should we be looking for and expecting to see, in your opinion, out of Shador?
Win. That's it. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and give you a completion percentage or touchdowns, the interceptions, or anything. Just go out and win the game. That's it. Okay? It's the same expectation I had for them against the New York Jets, which they failed miserably, and that's not Shador's fault. He didn't even play. But, like, yeah, go out and win the game. I get so sick and tired of seeing this stuff on social media. Oh, the Browns better lose this week. They got to tank. Got to get that number one pick. Listen, when has tanking ever paid off for this franchise? It's why they're the bunch of losers they've been for 30 years, because that's all we talk about. Oh, they got to tank. Got to get the draft position. Got to get the best pick. It doesn't matter. Every other NFL team can find quality players in the first round of the draft without tanking. But now all of a sudden the Cleveland Browns just have to tank. No, you do not build a winning culture doing stuff like that. So go out and try, and also go out and just win the football game, and the hell with your draft position.
Daryl, looking at Shador and really the entire quarterback situation that we've been sort of situated in, do you feel like Shador should have been getting first-team reps this entire time?
Well, no. I mean, look, there's a couple things getting lost in this whole argument. Backups getting first-team reps or reps in general in practice is not as much of a thing as we, you know, thought it is. The reason why we think it's a thing is because we don't get to see practice, okay? Once training camp starts, we get to see them stretch, okay? We're not even allowed to film the quarterbacks handing off a football because, you know, so much can be learned about your offensive game plan if you show film of a quarterback sticking a football in a running back's belly. Oh, my God in heaven, the horror of releasing that type of video, let alone being allowed to show a quarterback throwing a football to somebody. So paranoia reigns supreme, has helped the Browns win no games, but good for them, majoring in the minor as they always do. Anyway, I digress. Back to my point. And it's this, that, you know, the reps thing, whatever. But we get all caught up in that. Where the reps thing is relevant is because in the offseason program, he didn't get reps. He should have gotten reps in the offseason program. They wasted everybody's time with Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett being here. It should have just been Dylan and Shador and getting those two dudes ready to play. And then secondly, the Browns created the issue by carving out the exception to the rule with Dylan Gabriel in practice, with Joe Flacco. And they were making sure they were taking some of Joe Flacco's reps and giving them to Dylan Gabriel in practice. So the Browns are the ones that carved out the exception for Dylan Gabriel, but they were not willing to carve out the exception for Shador Sanders, right? Mm-hmm. And when he became the number two quarterback. But then the other tentacle to that whole situation is, well, Dylan Gabriel stunk so bad, he needed every rep he could get in practice, and they didn't have the luxury of giving Shedeur Sanders reps in practice. That's the honest-to-goodness truth about that whole situation, and I know that that makes for bad debate and whatever, but that's the honest-to-goodness truth about that whole rep fiasco or whatever you want to call it that everyone's losing their mind over. It's not a thing in the NFL to give backups a lot of reps, and also, too, the Browns created this whole controversy because they carved out the exception to give Dylan Gabriel reps. When Joe Flacco was the starter, but once Dylan became the starter, Shedeur became QB number two, they did not. And part of the reason for that, again, was because Dylan stunk to high heaven and he needed all the work he could get in practice.
Daryl, this entire thing really, it's basically confused me at this point. It's confused me since the very beginning. Drafting two quarterbacks, Jimmy has him claiming he wants those two quarterbacks to play sometime this season, and he thinks that's an important thing. And then obviously not splitting up the reps. Does it feel like they basically went into this thing without an entire plan and have just been making up this plan the entire way as they go?
No, I think they went into it with a plan, but in typical Browns fashion, and some of it's just not their fault, and some of it is because, well, they're the Browns, is that they're just never able to execute their plan. This is the issue this organization has in year in and year out, okay? They always have a plan. They just never get to execute it because circumstances force them always to deviate from said plan. So, no, I'm not going to sit here and unfairly criticize them for not having a plan. Now, I disagree with the plan that they had, which I do believe was for Kenny Pickett to be the starter. Then he got hurt, and okay, so let's just turn it over to Joe Flacco so we can sell to our fans, hey, look, we got Joe. We're actually trying to win, even though we're probably not going to have any chance to win because we don't have any wide receivers. Our offensive line is in tatters, right? And we don't know the status of our future franchise running back that we drafted in the second round and whatnot. So, you know, their best laid plans went out the window in a hurry. And so you kind of had to make it up on the fly, you know. And again, they didn't want to play Shedeur Sanders, but I know, shocking, the undersized 5'9" quarterback got a concussion. Who saw that one coming? Like, you know what I mean? Like, not me. I mean, Shedeur was only a snap away. My bad for not expecting Dylan Gabriel to be durable. Like, so that's where they messed up. Is expecting it. Oh, yeah, Dylan Gabriel's going to be durable. He's going to be fine. We don't need to worry about getting Shedeur ready. We can wait, you know, no hurry there. No, you do, because you have an undersized quarterback who can't play that you're throwing out there every week. And at some point, going to get the bell rung. He's going to get hurt some way, somehow, and you got to be ready so that Shedeur can come in and be prepared. And they got caught with their pants down on Sunday. That much was clear.
Again, Daryl Ryder with us here. Daryl, it's obviously not fair to ask you to speculate on the length of an injury, especially a concussion.
But you're going
to
do it anyway. Go ahead.
I'm not going to ask you to speculate. I'm going to just tell me if there's anything that can actually be brought away from this. And if no is the correct answer, that's fine. But to feel, obviously, the Browns have not in any way ruled out Dylan Gabriel. But we see the reports from Mary Kay Cabot that it's a 99.9% chance that Shedeur Sanders is basically playing on Sunday. And we know that comes from somewhere. Is there anything we can take away the fact that, you know, Dylan's already not looking to be ready for Sunday, and maybe that spans over multiple weeks, because we've seen concussions last as long as a one-week injury, and we've seen concussions like Cedric Tillman last, you know, basically half of a season. Is there any way to determine, you know, that this is going to be a multi-week versus one-week injury?
No. There's no timetable with concussions. It's not like you know, you turn your ankle, right, or your knee or something like that. No, I mean, it is what it is. So there's no way to know. You know, Kevin obviously didn't want to get into any specifics about symptoms and, you know, just other, hey, he's in the protocol, right? Well, the odds of him being out of the protocol by Sunday are, you know, slim to none. It has happened before. We have seen it, but it's rare. And the other thing, too, this gives them, you know, the reason, okay, we don't want Dylan playing a game where he doesn't have all the reps in the week, right?
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and just have Shedeur start this week and give Dylan whatever time he needs to recover, recuperate, whatever, okay? Even if he clears protocol on Friday, we're not going to have him start the game. Maybe he's active to be QB2 or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. So, yeah, but no, you have no idea how long the symptoms are going to last or how, you know, just, you don't know. I mean, the thing about the concussion is, And that's why so much attention has been paid to it since Colt McCoy, got sent into next week and brought this to everybody's attention, that whole situation in Pittsburgh, right? Which led to this concussion protocol and the independent evaluators and things like that. And that's why I think it was earlier this year the Giants got fined because Daboll went into the tent. No, this is an independent process. You are not to be in here to influence an independent process as far as evaluating a player's potential head injury. So, I think it's still an evolving science, but again, it's unpredictable. You know, the concussion can start to get better. Then you wake up one morning and you're back to square one, or it's worse. Like you just, there is no definitive timetable on the thing. So I wish I could say, yeah, he's gonna be out 2 to 4 weeks. No, I can't. He could be back in a week. He could be back in four. Like, we don't know. We've seen players that have missed, 4 weeks with a concussion or being in the concussion protocol, right? You don't know. So most importantly, hopefully he's okay. He comes out of it okay, all that, thing. There are no long-term effects and things like that. But, we just have to wait and see on the time to be missed and the duration and all those type of things.
No doubt. Daryl, looking away from the quarterback spot, Myles Garrett, obviously, we talked about a little bit, having an incredible season. Do you think that, aside from whatever the Browns finished out, if they managed to finish this year with 2 wins, do you think it's still a lock that if Myles continues to play the way he is right now, that he'd be defensive player?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Player of the year, no doubt.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Defensive player is a little different than the MVP. MVP, which now is basically, okay, who's the best quarterback that won the most games, right? That's usually who the MVP goes to. Defensive player of the year is a little different, usually goes to, the sack. It's not just he's dominating with sacks. You're talking tackles for losses. He leads the NFL in those. I think he's number two in QB hits. Pressures, sites like Pro Football Focus and whatnot, are tallying those now. He's among the league leaders with pressures as well. So when you're having as dominating of a season as him, or he is, I should say, I don't think it matters how many games the Browns win. Certainly would. Now, if the Browns were 8-2 and not 2-8, right, and then maybe we'd all be sitting here saying not only should he win Defensive Player of the Year, but he ought to win league MVP on top of it, right? But the Browns are terrible. His career is basically going to a waste, another wasted season for him as far as being able to play on the big stages. But, this is what he signed up for. So, he can just, take solace in setting all these records that he's setting.
Well, hopefully he doesn't sound like he does that at the end of every week, but hopefully there's something there. Daryl, we got to run, but as always, appreciate you setting aside the time. We'll obviously talk tomorrow where we get to preview the Raiders game, and maybe Shador will excite everybody and we'll actually have a quarterback that's worth watching every single Sunday.
Yeah, we'll look forward to that conversation. And it was pretty ugly Monday night.
Yes, it was.
When they're taking a knee with 2.5 minutes to go for a second straight week, things are not going well in Raiderland, but that's quite okay for the Browns.
Yeah, we'll definitely take it. We appreciate you, Daryl.
You bet.
Daryl Ryder, our Cleveland Sports Beat reporter there, courtesy of Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We're going to react to what Daryl had to say. Pretty damning stuff. Reps for the quarterback as well. It feels like a more long-term than short-term issue for the Browns this season when it comes to that entire thing. We'll break it all down here in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan. And Daryl's got the right thought on this one. Like, there is just something to the idea that you sit there and you just go and play. Hey, guys, we don't know what quarterbacks are coming out in this draft. We don't know that the answer to quarterback's going to be in this draft and that the Browns are even, we know they're looking at it because I mean, they're flying all across the country left and right week after week in order to get there. But, like, you don't know the answer is there. Also, best quarterback in this draft right now was selected, I mean, late in the first round. I don't know, Jackson Dart's a draft pick off the top of my head. I know the Giants traded back up somewhere in the late 20s or very early 30, like somewhere in that range. I want to say it was like 28 or 29. But like, Jackson Dart by far looks the best. 25. I was close. 25. But like, the best quarterback in this draft right now came out of the 25th draft position. You don't need the number one overall pick necessarily. And this is a bad quarterback class across the board. And it continues to look that way right now outside of Dart. Like, Cam Ward has not played well. Obviously, Dylan Gabriel has not. Shador Sanders right now is not. Basically, everybody else outside of Tyler Shuck has not gotten a chance. And it's not like Tyler Shuck has looked great either. The Saints have one win. Like, again, we look around. It's not a guarantee. I also think one of the more damning things that Daryl was talking about that I want to harp on here, and you guys can chime in at 216-474-0092, was the idea of first reps, first team reps in general, right? And we're going to get into whether or not Shador should have actually had first team reps as the backup quarterback, but I think this entire problem goes a lot deeper of what we were talking about before we talked to Daryl as well, is just going through and looking at the fact that he probably should have had some kind of reps earlier on this year. Like, I don't know that I fully agree with Daryl that, you know, bringing in Joe and Kenny was a complete mistake as it is, and they shouldn't have had an opportunity. The Browns were trying to put together wins this year. They were trying to evaluate their offense and see what this team could accomplish. And obviously, you wanted better things to happen when Joe Flacco was the quarterback, but the Browns didn't make that work. The reality is, you sat around during training camp and the entire preseason process. Dylan got first team reps. Joe got first team reps. Kenny got first team reps. In a lot of ways, you just neglected Shador. Again, it showed itself on Sunday. It was bad. Everything we saw in that game, not everything, but just about everything we saw in that second half at quarterback was not good. And like, again, I struggle to sit here and they go, well, we're very, very, you know, strategic and intentional about the way that we're developing all of our young players, especially those at the quarterback position. And then I watch Shador Sanders get put into a game where it looks like he's the exact player that we saw in college and nothing has changed. What is it that you were trying to develop Shador on doing? Like, the one glaring issue that it's like, okay, what should we be working on with Shador? Because the ball placement was already elite in college. You know that's going to look good. You're going to obviously, you know, get him up to speed on the offense as a whole, how to properly run a Kevin Stefanski offense and the scheme that he's in. But I would imagine some of the things that you'd be trying to work on with your quarterback development-wise is, Shador, we got to stop drifting back in the pocket, and we have to make sure we're getting the ball out quickly. And those should have been the two main points of emphasis. It looked like the exact same Shador Sanders that I saw at Colorado. Nothing had changed. And like, yeah, it's only, you know, a handful of weeks where a week, 11 weeks into the season in the NFL. And then you date that all the way back to the point where you had drafted him in April and beyond. It's like, it feels like you missed the ball on the live reps part of it, which, hey, maybe if he was getting first team reps, there would have been more of. Maybe if he wasn't sitting there throwing to equipment managers during training camp, there would have been more of. I'm not oblivious to the entire fact of what this situation is. Shador Sanders was QB4. He was not the main focus. He was not the only focus, even though many fans probably would have preferred it to be that way. That's not how they evaluated this quarterback room. That's not how they went in. It wasn't just Shador and let's get Shador ready. There is a team aspect to that, and you have to prepare, you know, 75 plus guys basically during the preseason and beyond to actually be ready to go. And then obviously that number gets cut down, but not by that much by the time we're talking the practice squad and everything else. There's a lot of guys to be responsible for, a lot of guys to work on the development of. But it feels like the development of Shador just went to the wayside. It feels like it went across when, again, Jimmy's sitting there screaming at training camp, figuratively, not literally, but he's figuratively screaming to you that both quarterbacks are going to play this season and that's something they deem as important. I never felt that importance. I never felt the idea to get Shador ready was something that this Browns team ever focused on. It feels like, sure, did you want to redshirt him this year? Because that part of it never makes sense to me either. If the idea was that he wasn't going to play this season, then the idea was completely wrong. Because there's no point in drafting a quarterback in the fifth round to not play this year. You didn't draft Shador Sanders on the idea that he might be a good backup one day in the NFL. You drafted him on the idea of a lottery pick. And unless you weren't drafting a quarterback in 2026, which the way that they're scouting right now through college, the games that they're going to and everything else tells me that that's not something that they're just throwing away and not paying attention to. They're looking at quarterbacks. And I just don't see the entire process of it all. It doesn't feel like you were ever preparing Shador to get ready. And if he was that big of a development piece, if it was never going to work in year one, then I question the fact of why you drafted him in the first place. But if you wanted him to play this year, getting him reps during training camp, getting him reps at different points during the year, and even if it wasn't, while Dylan was a starter, because, yes, typically your backup quarterback does not take any, if at all, maybe a few reps during practice. And a lot of the times you see that, it's veteran quarterbacks who are taking days off, or veteran quarterbacks who just don't need to be out there. Like, does Aaron Rodgers need to run the first team rep at every single Steelers practice? I don't know. The guy's over 40. He's been doing this and doing this at an MVP level for a very long time. I don't know that that's the exact thing that you need to be doing. But, yeah, Dylan needed a ton of reps. He's a rookie quarterback that you were making your starting quarterback. He needed all those reps. There were other ways to get Shador involved, too. You had the entire training camp. Again, it feels like they've blundered the entire quarterback system that they were trying to run through with four different quarterbacks at the beginning of training camp. It feels like you never had a strong plan going in to actually get everybody prepared and ready to play this season. But you claimed to me that was a goal of yours. You claimed to me that was important. Somewhere down the line, somewhere across that way, the Browns messed up. They messed this thing up beyond what they were actually supposed to. We knew it was going to be bad. I don't know that anybody was projecting it this bad. If you couldn't find a way to make two quarterbacks ready, rookie quarterbacks ready that you wanted to see play, the very easy solution was don't draft two rookie quarterbacks. You should have let somebody else then take the swing on Shador Sanders. But I think they know as well as most of us know, that was a lottery ticket that looked like it was worth taking. It just doesn't seem like they prepared for that lottery ticket ever to be a winner. They basically wrote it off as a loser right off the gate, and now they're being forced to play their hand. 216-474-0092. Does it feel like the Browns messed up this quarterback competition a long time ago, or does it feel like more of a recent issue for you? Plus, the idea of first-team reps in your calls coming up in 5 minutes. 216-474-0092. It's right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Just in general, this is something that he should have been getting since he took over as the backup, which would tell you that this issue occurred within the last 6 weeks. I would tell you that I think this issue goes probably further than the last 6 weeks. Probably should have been getting reps with the first team or, if you planned on playing him, which a lot of signs point to the Browns wanting to have played Shador at some point this year, you probably should have been getting him those reps a long time ago. Like, that should have been training camp. That should have been potentially running a quarterback competition from the very start. Like, a genuine quarterback competition. Again, it's not even me coming out and saying that I think Shador wins that competition, because I think that the way that they've viewed him in the building would tell you that he wouldn't have. It would have made sure that he had thrown a ball to Jerry Jeudy at some point. It would have made sure that the offensive line had heard his cadence at some point, and it wasn't such a new, unknown feeling to the first-team offense of watching their new quarterback that's going to be starting this week, that was in the second half of a crucial game for them, in trying to basically learn everything that he likes to do, wants to do, all on the fly, something that they're also going to have to do very quickly, trying to turn things around this week. Again, 216-474-0092. Let's go out to the phones. Todd's in Ward 1. What's going on, Todd?
Nah, I don't think they messed it up, Jake. The pickings were slim this year. So considering where Shador was picked, that's all right. I mean, if they picked him up in the higher rounds, that would have been a problem. He looked like a Ram to me, though. I thought he looked right sitting behind Stafford for a year. But since he didn't do that, and he's sitting here with the Browns, he looks about what he is, a fifth round pick. That if he gets enough room, he'll be respectable next year. And what better team other than the Titans for him to play and look good is the Raiders. So I think this is a chance for him to really get his skill set on display under a relatively relaxed environment, whatever relaxed is in the NFL for a game. Because like I said, other than the Titans, that looks like the easiest game left on the schedule. So do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the easiest game outside of the Titans.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're preparing him for next year, and that was the end goal anyway, and that's the time it's going to take, I just don't see them bypassing. If they like a quarterback in the first round, they're going to take that quarterback, and then drafting Shador in general was basically all for naught.
Well, he definitely needs the video for himself to really get a good feel for what his quality of play is, so that it'll work out for him if he plays against the Raiders. But I do have an exiting question, because
yep.
I haven't been paying close enough attention personally. Who's the outstanding QB in Division One this year? Who's the guy?
By far right now, I would say looks like Mendoza at Indiana would be my clear number one pick. There's also Dante Moore in Oregon, Ty Simpson in Alabama. Those are like your top three names of guys that would likely come out and be in that first round.
Are any of them taller than 6'3"?
I think Mendoza's like 6'5", so yeah, he would definitely clear that mark.
And then Mendoza implies to me he's a Spanish kid?
I don't think so.
I know Indiana's rolling over people, but I haven't seen them play. But I will be seeing them play soon because it's going to be them in Ohio State most likely, right?
Yeah, I mean, those are your top two teams in the country right now. Indiana's shown some cracks but haven't faltered yet. So,
can they play each other in the Big Ten Championship?
I believe so.
Okay, I'll see them soon. All right, cool, Jake.
I appreciate the call, Todd.
Yep.
I don't know Fernando Mendoza's. I mean, the name implies something.
He's from Miami, I know that.
So, I mean, the ties could be there. I don't know. Listen, I pay close enough attention to Indiana to look at the kid and be like, he can throw the football. That's about as far as digging as I've done on Mendoza. That's about as far as I go. Have not dug into his roots. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I don't know. Bad work by me? I would think not. I cover Cleveland sports. I pay attention across the board. But yeah, we cover Cleveland here, and I couldn't tell you the nationalities and ethnicities of the players that are on the Browns right now, let alone the starting quarterback for Indiana. Anyway, 6'5", and again, hum a football. Would probably be my pick for the number one. I like Mendoza. I think he's all right. But I do think first reps is an interesting thing here, because you heard Daryl. Daryl went to bat and said that he doesn't think it was a mistake that Shador was not getting first team reps when he joined us at 8 o'clock. And again, Odyssey Rewind feature if you guys missed Daryl. But he said that doesn't feel like Shador should have been getting first-team reps. And basically, the Browns created this problem on their own by giving Gabriel first-team reps while Joe was there, because most other teams wouldn't do it. Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com, on with Baskin and Phelps today, took a little bit of a different approach to that and maybe felt the other way.
I 100% think that they should have, because it is a unique situation. Most backup quarterbacks have played some football before in their career. Most backup quarterbacks aren't backing up another rookie. I do understand that most backups don't get any reps, and if they do get any, it's a couple here and there, a handful. Even a handful during the week would have been helpful for Shador if you are making him your backup quarterback. If not, then don't make him your backup quarterback. I wrote a column a while back saying that perhaps he would be best served by not being QB2, just for this very reason, because he wasn't probably going to get the reps, and most of all, he wasn't going to have a game plan designed for his skill set once he got out there.
So I think this is where I agree with Mary Kay in a lot of ways, is that I have no problem with Shador really not getting reps. I mean, I've basically said that from the beginning of when he was the backup quarterback. Again, you have a rookie starting quarterback. Your rookie starting quarterback needs as many reps possibly as he can get. Just the same way that right now, obviously, Dylan's injury throws a wrench in this thing. Bailey Zappi's probably going to be your backup quarterback this week. But if it was just flipped and it was time, they decided, we're going to let Shador take over the offense and Dylan is going to serve as that backup, I wouldn't expect you to continue to give reps to Dylan Gabriel. Right? Like, he doesn't need to continue to get first-team reps. I would hope those are going to Shador for the best chance for that quarterback to possibly succeed. You can't ask anything differently when those roles are reversed. The problem is when you go through and you make him the backup quarterback. I can't sit here and just throw him as the backup and act like there's nothing wrong with it. He's not prepared to play in the game. Not only are him and Dylan's skill sets so vastly different that I hope you would not have an identical game plan for the two of them. And if you did, it would tell me that you're inept as an organization and you can't realize the game plan for a quarterback that you have in the building. I'm sorry, you're not the San Francisco 49ers. You don't have Brock Purdy and Mac Jones who can thrive under the same system. You took two quarterbacks who could not be different from each other in a lot of ways. And yet you still made him the backup quarterback. Like, that's the problem. That's sort of the issue that we look at as you go to the Browns. You don't have to go through and make Shador the backup. You could have served. Bailey Zappi could have basically stepped in, and they could have elevated him multiple times for several weeks before making Shador the backup and just used practice squad elevations in order to do so. You could have. I mean, they've moved around the roster multiple times. You could just carry three quarterbacks. It's always an option. They were doing it earlier on in the season. You could just continue to do that and elevate Bailey Zappi from the practice squad to the active roster and actually just make the promotion and sign him to a non-practice squad contract. That's also another option. But we also heard the reports previously. They wanted to give Shador a full week before they would have named him the starter and put him in the game. Basically, dispelling the idea that they would have willingly brought Shador in at halftime of a game because Dylan was playing bad, not because he got a concussion or injured in any other way. Okay, but you know how this thing goes. You can't act like Dylan Gabriel is just going to be a rock and never be injured. It's a quarterback in the National Football League. Guys, look around the NFL. Quarterbacks get injured left and right. We had multiple injuries just this week when it came to quarterbacks. We saw Jordan Love miss time in the game despite coming back. We saw Michael Penix hurt his ACL for like the fourth time. Very unfortunate. Like, we know that injuries occur to quarterbacks all the time. And it's not like we can ignore the fact that Dylan is, I will generously say, sub 6 foot and not a thick build whatsoever. Like, he is not a well-built quarterback in the NFL from a physical standpoint. There's a real opportunity that at any given moment he could be injured. You set Shador up to be ready to play in that game. And yet he wasn't actually ready to play in the game. And thus you get the result that you had. I'm not taking all the blame off of Shador Sanders. Yes, he played poorly. Then there's no way to just walk away from that and say that he did it. But he also didn't do everything in your power to make sure, again, your backup quarterback, no matter who that is, was ready to step on the field. If your backup quarterback in this moment was, say, a guy that was here previously in Joe Flacco, Joe doesn't need to see any reps. Even if Joe hadn't started the year, Joe doesn't need to see any reps. He's done this. The game plan, he can't operate and just go in and be himself. And is it going to look like the prettiest thing in the world? Probably not. Is it going to look better when you game plan for him to be your starter? Yeah, probably. But he can step in and be the quarterback that he's been and just operate, and he's an 18-year veteran and he does that. Shador's never stepped on an NFL field before in a regular season game. That's, again, partially on you. I did think it was interesting, though. Cedric Tillman, yesterday, he sat down with the media via Zoom and had an interesting back and forth when it came to backup quarterbacks getting reps.
And then there's been a lot of discussion about the reps, like the backup quarterback reps, right? Shador hasn't had any with the first team offense. Do you understand why it's structured like that, that the starter gets all of them and the backup just kind of has to figure it out?
No, that's coach's decision.
But is that how he's always been, though, right? That's not unusual this year.
Coach's decision.
All right, thanks.
Like, that just screams to me. It's Cedric Tillman. He's telling you the answer without telling you the answer. And we know that, Dylan essentially has taken first-team reps in that role with Joe Flacco and had gone through and done things. But that's Cedric basically being like, hey, I think you kind of know the answer of where I'm getting at here. That's going to be a Kevin Stefanski question. That's a classic, you know, pull from your head coach and take the media training your head coach has displayed to you and let me apply it back to my head coach. Every time that Kevin would come out, and he's gotten better at this year because Andrew Berry hasn't sat down to spoke to the media. Good job. Way to be accountable there. But Kevin would be like, oh, that's a better question for Andrew. Like, you should ask Andrew Berry that question. This is Cedric Tillman doing the exact same thing. That's above my pay grade question, but I think you kind of know the answer. So, again, there feels to be some kind of disconnect. I don't understand the actual idea, other than basically trying to force Kevin Stefanski's hand to say, hey, you basically got to make Shador the backup quarterback, because right now, by the way, what other option does he have? Like, if you're telling me they're not lockstep in the organization, this is a forcing of the hand of Kevin Stefanski in one way, if not another, to just get Shador onto the field. Because, okay, he's not going to bench Dylan openly in those first few weeks, and that's fine. But would Joe have been the backup quarterback if it was up to Kevin, he was on the roster? Yeah, probably. Would Bailey Zappe maybe have been the backup quarterback had he been elevated? Yeah, probably. But guess what? That's not a Kevin Stefanski decision. That's an Andrew Berry decision. Andrew Berry has to be the one to make the call and navigate the roster and call him up. That's not on Kevin. The only option for backup quarterback is the only other quarterback on the roster. Again, you decided to make that bed. Andrew Berry deserves part of that blame, too, for the way it looked on Sunday. Jimmy Haslam, I'm sure, deserves part of the blame for the way that it looks on Sunday, and Kevin holds his own blame in it, too. But, yeah, you got to, at some point, give the guy first-team reps. If you expect him to play, I don't agree that it had to be while Dylan was a starter. Again, I understand that rookie quarterbacks need the reps. You got to find a way to get him prepared. You have to find a way to get him ready if he's going to be your backup quarterback. And now he's your starting quarterback. And guess again, you have 3 days. You got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to actually make this thing work before you're playing a game in Vegas on Sunday. And I'm scared to see what that looks like. I'm hoping he'll look better. I'm hoping the Browns have been prepared for this moment since he was a backup quarterback and they knew it was a possibility. I'm hoping that they, you know, had some emergency planning behind the scenes ready to go. I don't know that they're not just sitting in a scramble right now and weren't prepared for this. 216-474-0092. Was it actually weird Shador Sanders not getting first-team reps? Well, Daryl will tell you it's quite the norm and most of the NFL would too. A lot of things sort of point the other way between Cedric Tillman and Mary Kay certainly feels differently. Get a grip. Coming your way in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.